Take just a minute tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 4. David now is the king of Judah, and Ish-bosheth is the king of the other 10 tribes. Of course, Levites are of their own. You'll notice, if you would, they're the priests. Notice, if you would, in chapter 4, verse 1, and when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. Now, the reason is because when Abner was the only one keeping Ish-bosheth in the crown, he was the only one, because everybody wanted David, but Abner just didn't do the right thing. And so for 7.5 years, Abner stood up against David and the kingdom of Judah, and kept the 10 tribes with Ish-bosheth. And Ish-bosheth was a weak king. He was a relative of Saul, son of Saul. You'll notice, if you would, he was feeble in verse 1. And then you'll notice, if you would, after Abner was killed. Now, keep in mind, Joab killed him in revenge for killing his brother in battle. And so David wanted everybody to know he had no part of that. Up till this point in time, David consistently did the right thing. And you're going to notice tonight, notice Roman number 1 in the outline. David again refused to take the kingdom by force, but waited on God. Now, if you remember, David was anointed king at 17 years old, as a young man. But he was not made king for 13 more years. And he was not made king of Judah for 5 more years. So you have to understand that David was willing to wait on the will of God that he knew was waiting. And that's one of the lessons of the message this evening. Is even though you and I know the will of God, are we willing to wait on God to bring it to pass? David knew he was going to be the king even when he's running from Saul. Now, I'm certain there were times when he feared for his life, and he said, I don't know, I don't understand what's going to happen, because I'm just a step between me and death, and yet God said I was going to be king. I don't see how it's all going to work out, because Saul's going to kill me. But he realized that God had a hand on him, and there's no way Saul could kill him. And so David is trying to do the right thing. Well, now Abner is dead. David could have just marched right in and taken the kingdom, but he refused. He said, I will only be the king of all Israel when God says it's right. Now notice in the outline, if you would, A, Ish-bosheth was scared to death that David would take the kingdom after Abner was killed. We read that in verse 1. You notice B, David made no attempt to take over the rest of Israel after Joab was killed. He never made an opportunity. When Abner was killed, if Joab killed him, David made no attempt to do anything. He just left it as is. Now notice, if you would, his two captains. In verse number 2, Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The one was named Bana, and the name of the other was Rechab. And Bana and Rechab were two sort of in charge underneath Abner, and they became the new leaders, sort of a split leadership, two generals, you might say. And you'll notice that in this passage here, we find the first mention of Mephibosheth in verse number 4, Jonathan's son that was dropped as a child and apparently was crippled. But you'll notice in verse 5, these two sons, or these two servants of Ish-bosheth, decided and concocted a plan. They said, you know what we'll do? Sort of like the Amalekite. They figured David was like everybody else. He wants the kingdom for himself. So if we help bring the kingdom to David, he'll reward us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, they came thither into the house, midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the 5th rib. And you'll notice the two men escaped. They're brothers. Verse 7, when they came into his house, he lay on the bed in his bedchamber. And they smote him and slew him, and they beheaded him. and took his head and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy. And folks, everybody assumes that when somebody does us wrong, they're going to be our enemy. But Christians don't act that way. The godly do not act that way. If somebody does us wrong, if we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to have to forgive them and pray for them and be gracious to them. Doesn't mean we turn our back on them and get injured again, but it's that we don't pay them back. We don't try to make them hurt. We don't make them suffer. But everybody thought that David and Saul were enemies because of the way Saul chased him. But David never was. David always was the testimony God wanted him to be. And I believe that is why God wanted him to be king, because he knew David's heart. It says that in the book of Acts. Now, God knows our heart. Does he know that he can put us in a position of respect and authority because no matter what, we're going to do right? Well, he knew that about David. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 9, David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, notice if you would, and said, as the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead. Now, that was the Amalekite. So it's much the same thing. Thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more when a wicked man have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood at your hand and take you away from the earth? So David looks at these two men and says, look, I know you think that I'm happy that the other king is dead, but I am not. And notice, if you would, in the outline, see, Ishbosheth had two captains that took over his army after Abner was killed. Notice D, Ishbosheth was king only because of his name, because he was in the kingly line, not because he deserved it. And Abner's loyalty to Saul. So Abner's loyal to Saul, and that's the only reason. Now, Abner knew that David was supposed to be king. He even said that in the chapter last week. But he didn't obey the Lord in his heart. So when you and I know we ought to do something, we shouldn't delay and wait and do the easy thing. The easy thing was to make Ishbosheth king, because that was what was expected. Well, notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2, his two captains, Baanah and Rechab, decided to kill Ishbosheth and get into favor with David. A, and this is the lesson, our ambitions will get us into trouble if they are not the will of God for us. Now, when you and I decide to put together a plan, we had better make sure that, Lord, is this okay with you? Obviously, these men didn't get down and pray and say, Lord, is it your will that we bring the kingdom to David? They didn't do that. They're wicked men. And yet, we can learn a lesson from these two that thought they were doing a good thing, and they thought they would bring the kingdom to David because everybody knew that David was supposed to be the king. The word had gotten out that he'd been anointed king by God. And so the word was out. So they said, look, we'll just help things along. Well, you'll notice, if you would, they had an ambition to get favor with David. And folks, tonight, you may have an ambition at work. I like to do this. I like to be in that position. I like to do this. But I may have to do something not quite right to get there. Or I may have to agree with my boss when he's not right to get there. Or I may have to mistreat somebody because my boss wants me to get there. You and I have to learn that as God's children, we do what's right and let the promotion come from the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 75. This is a psalm everyone in this room ought to underline. If you have a job, if you have aspirations or dreams, if you have ambition, look, if you would, in verse 5. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. And what he's saying there is simply, don't promote yourself. Don't make yourself look good. Don't talk about yourself and tell everybody how good you can do things. Verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So understand, promotion comes from the Lord. A raise comes from the Lord. Recognition comes from the Lord. It's up to you and I to just say, Lord, I just want to do the right thing. So David is king. He's king of Judah. And now he has an opportunity, open door, to be king of all Israel. But he doesn't move a step. He just keeps right on doing what God's calling him to do and be king of Judah and be a good king. And he doesn't attempt at all to step in to become king of Israel, all of Israel, even though he knows that's God's will. Now, so notice, A, in the outline, our ambitions can get us into trouble if we're not careful. Always trust the Lord to promote you. Pray about it. Leave it in the Lord's hands. Notice, if you would, B, in the outline, both men slipped into Ishbosheth's bedroom and killed him. C, then they cut off his head to take to David. They wanted to prove to David that Ishbosheth was dead. They are also wanting David to reward them in some way for their loyalty to David and disloyalty to Ishbosheth. Folks, disloyalty is a terrible thing. You don't ever want to be disloyal to anything that is right. Even to people that are wrong, disloyalty is a terrible word. You may not be able to go that direction, but disloyalty gives the impression of going behind and doing things. No one should ever be disloyal. We should always do the right thing. And notice, if you would, D, David said that God was the one who delivered David out of all of his troubles. David didn't need or appreciate them killing an innocent man in his bedroom. And David had them both killed. Verse 12, David commanded his young men, and they slew them, cut off their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulchre of Abner in Hebron. In other words, David tried to do the right thing for Ishbosheth. He had his head, and he was wanting to show respect. So notice Roman numeral 3. David buried Ishbosheth's remains with as much respect as he could. David never wanted the people of Israel to think that he aspired to have the kingdom. God was going to have to give it to him or he would not have it. That was David's attitude. And folks, you and I, the scriptural principle is, look, if there's something you want in your heart, go to your closet, close the door and pray and say, Lord, this is a burden of my heart. Would you help me with this? Would you give me this new car? Would you give me this job? Would you give me this promotion? Would you do this for me? Lord, would you help me make this great? You leave it in the Lord's hands and say, I'll do my part, Lord. I'll work hard, but Lord, I'll leave everything else to you. And when you do that, the Lord says, I've got this. And you and I have to learn to trust him. Too many times we try to go out and help God. That's when the Bible says promotion cometh neither from the east to the west, or the north or the south, but God putteth one up and down one the other. So we have to learn to say, Lord, I want to trust you in this. So let's learn to lay our ambitions at the feet of Christ on our knees. Notice, if you would, Romans number 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what happens. Right after David shows respect, notice what happens. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Now listen to this part, verse 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. Even when Saul was king, they respected and followed David. They knew David was the one that would stand up for them, protect them. Remember, David was doing raids and all kinds of things, and it was him that was winning victories to protect Israel. Well, you'll notice they recognized that. Now, folks, David never heard that for 7.5 years. And yet it was in their hearts. So you and I learn that time to the Lord is not like time to us. Well, Lord, I've waited a year for that promotion, or 3 years for that promotion, or 5 years for this or that. Learn to wait on the Lord. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't want to do that. Patience is not my long suit. I'd like to get these buildings built as a little boy yesterday, last Sunday. I just see the advantage for our church family and the ability for us to go forward. And yet the Lord says, wait. And I don't know what the Lord's doing. I never dreamed we'd be able to build everything with all cash. And that may be what the Lord's doing. And have even a better place than we had before. I don't know what the Lord's doing. But the Lord makes no mistakes. It's just up to us to follow patiently. And so you and I have to learn to follow patiently. Notice if you would, in verse 2, thou wast he that led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. Did you notice that? Before the Lord. Everything is about the Lord with David up to this point. Lord, do you want me to go to chase those men down that stole my family? Lord, do you want me to go battle them? Yes, I do, David. Lord, do you want me to go do this? Yes, I do, David. Or no, I don't. Well, notice if you would, in verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. Now watch. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, so he's 22 and a half when he started reigning over Judah. So notice, if you would, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman number 1, underneath chapter 5, all Israel came and made David king. Now, I'm certain this was a great joy to David's heart, but it's 13 years after he was anointed. Are we willing to wait on the plan of God? That's important. Notice, A, they all admitted David was the real one who led them, even when Saul was their king. Now, I can guarantee you, when David's running for his life and the 600 men are with him, he never once thought that all of Israel saying, you're really our king. And so there's many times when you and I think nobody knows what I'm doing. I mean, I'm in the choir. Nobody recognizes what I'm doing. I'm doing something at church, but nobody recognizes what I'm doing. The security people, nobody knows what I'm doing. In the nursery, I work in the nursery, watch the children. Nobody knows what I'm doing. The Lord knows. And the Lord says, I'm going to honor you for it. So I want you to understand, you do nothing out of a dedication to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, that God doesn't say, I see it and I'm going to bless you for it. Faithfulness is beyond price. It's the hardest thing to do. Consistently do the right thing. It's the hardest thing to do to consistently love your husband or your wife with no reserves. It's the hardest thing to do to consistently love your parents no matter what. Obey your parents no matter what. It's the hardest thing to do to go to work and follow your boss no matter what. Have a right attitude no matter what. Faithfulness to do what's right is the most difficult thing in the Christian life. And that's the reason why there's very few Daniels. There's very few Moses. But God is always looking for them. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, B, David was king of Judah at 22, all Israel at 30. See, David knew that God was for him being king. The people respected David, and God gave that respect to David from the people. And here's the psalm I had written down, Psalm 75, 5 through 7, the Lord lifts up and puts down. David knew he was going to be king, but he waited, and he waited for the Lord. Now notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. Almost immediately after David was made king of Israel, the Philistines challenged his leadership. Now watch this. As David had always done, before going to war, this is A in the outline, he asked God what to do. Look at verse 19 of chapter 6. Verse 18, we'll start there. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now watch this. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? David is the king. Don't you know he was chomping at the bit to prove himself? But he does the right thing. He goes right back and gets on his knees and says, Lord, do you want me to go to fight this battle? Notice if you would. Number one, he asked if he should go to war. Look at verse 19. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? Question number one, Lord, should I go up and fight? You know, sometimes the Lord says no. And you'll notice this. Watch what happens. Two, he also asked if God was going to let him win the battle. So notice verse 19. Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David goes and came and does battle and wins the victory. Well, notice if you would, what happens? Look with me, if would it be, verse 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me. He gave the Lord the credit. Too many times we get raises, bonuses, we get promotions, we become elevated a little bit, and in our heart we take the credit. We may not say it outwardly. Folks, protect your heart. God loved David till this point in time because his heart was right before the Lord. So notice what he does. He gives the Lord the credit. The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies. So notice, B in the outline, he gave God the credit for the victory. Every good thing, every good and perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights. Every blessing that God gives to us, we could give him credit. We must do that. It's one of the lessons of this story. Notice if you would, see. Then David burned all their false gods. Look at verse 21. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Now, just a little side note here. I've never understood why, if the Philistines get defeated, run off and leave their gods in the field, and they get burned up, why the Israelites say, we need gods like the Philistines. And the Israelites would go make their gods just like the other people. You know what it is? It's the desire to fit in. It's the desire to be like the world. It's the desire, we don't want to be different. So Lord, let me be like them. The Lord cannot win the world without the light of the gospel in us. It's imperative that you and I shine. We shine with the sweetness of our spirit. We shine with the integrity of our soul. You can't make a Christian lie. You can't make a Christian cheat if that Christian is right with the Lord. You can't make a Christian get angry and lose his temper if that person's right with the Lord. Folks, tonight, we have to learn to be a light everywhere we go. The world is darkness. We're not going to be a light being like them. Notice if you would. So he burns their false gods. And you won't find a little bit later on, after David's gone and Solomon, they begin to make false gods again. The next generation. It makes no sense. And yet, young people, you're the next generation. When we get answers to prayer and we brag on the Lord in church, you've got to pick up on it. Parents, you've got to tell your children of the blessings of the Lord, that God did this. Here's an answer to prayer, so that they know that their God is the same one and he's still able. We don't do enough of that. We don't give the Lord the credit. Folks, tonight, there is a God in heaven that orders the world according to his word. And you and I can follow the world and do whatever they want to do, or we can say, I'm going to follow God's word and I'm going to do what it says. So that's why you and I can't lie. That's why we have to apologize when we're wrong. That's why we have to forgive people that don't deserve it, because it's what God wants. If there is no God, then let's do what 1 Corinthians says, eat, drink, and be merry. But if there is a God, you cannot do that. The price is too great. We'll send people to hell because our light is not visible. And when we stand before God, we'll hear welcome home, but no welcome, no well done. Tonight, the price is too great to do our own thing, go our own way. And David knew it. And David said, Lord, do you want me to go to battle? I'm a warrior. I'm the new king. I'd love to show my kingdom that I'm fearless, that I can win the battle. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now notice, if you would, D in the outline. Then a second time the Philistines came to fight Israel. And David again prayed. Notice verse number 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves again in the same valley. And notice what happens. And when David inquired of the Lord, now it's almost like it's assumed. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. So the Lord said, no, David, I don't want you to go up and fight. I just don't want you to do that. Well, notice what he says. But fetch a compass behind them. Put a group of people behind them. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, I'm going to stir the mulberry trees for you. When you hear that, that's a sign, attack from both sides, front and rear. For then shall the Lord go out before thee and to smite the host of the Philistines. So David, I don't want you to go until I shake the mulberry trees. Then I will stand up for you and I'll help you win the victory. Again, David had to learn to wait. The first time, yes, go. The second time, no, wait. And do it this way. David was considered to be a great general. But it was because he followed the Lord's instructions. David was fearless, and there's no doubt about that. He's one of the bravest men to ever live at 17 years old. So I can only imagine what he was like at 30. However, his bravery came from his trust in the Lord. Nobody's going to go fight a lion and a bear on their own. But I believe if God is with me, I can do it. All I want you to understand tonight is this. Everything that we do, we need to learn to say, Lord, do you want me to do this today? Lord, will you be with me today? Will you give me the answer today? Will you bless me today? That's exactly what David did. Each time David goes to war, he gets down and says, Lord, do you want me to go to war? And God says, yes. Or God said, no. Do it this way. Notice, if you would, verse 25. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines from Geba until Gezer. Now, I want you to notice this. The Lord gave David the credit. He smote the Philistines. But David gives God the credit. So the people loved David because David was humble. He wasn't like Saul. He was different than anybody they'd ever met. That's reason from the 17-year-old boy, they loved him for 13 years, even though he wasn't their king. And so tonight, folks, if you want people to respect you, respect is earned by doing the right thing in hard times. Everybody can do right when it's easy. If everybody's going the same direction and they're all going and doing what's right, that's the reason I sure would like to have a strong youth group with young people that want to do what's right so that the kids that are weak right now can do the right thing. My youth group growing up, we had some really godly young men, but it sometimes wasn't easy to do right. Morris was in that youth group. Travis Cummins was in the youth group. We had a bunch of preachers in that youth group, but we had a bunch of, I remember one kid that is in trouble today. His life is messed up and ruined. He would sit in the youth group. He would strike a match and put it to the girl's hair in front of him and burn the hair a little bit so it would smell in the youth group. And everybody knew what he was doing. I mean, they figured it out. It was him. Well, he got called in and chewed out real good, and his mother found out about it. He almost died. Yet, the idea that somebody would have the gall to do that in church, no wonder he's in trouble. His life is ruined. He never once learned, Lord, do you want me to do this right? Do you want me to do that right? Lord, how do you want me to do this? Folks, tonight, David is a great example of, I know what God wants in my life, but I'm going to wait on him to accomplish it. Tonight, are you in the will of God? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do. When David had a chance to bring the kingdom to himself, he didn't do it. He waited on the Lord. And when it was time to fight and a battle was brought to him, it was not his doings. He got on his knees and says, Lord, do you want me to go to battle now? The Lord said, yes. Folks, tonight, let's learn the lesson that wait on the Lord and do what's right, and he'll promote us. And the second thing is, always get on your knees about every decision that's important and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I want to do your will. If you do that, God will love you and he will bless you in ways that you can never imagine. Let's bow forward in prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight, we know you love us. And yet, Lord Jesus, I know there are people here tonight trying to make hard decisions in their life. And I plead with you to give them the courage to make the right one. Father, help us to follow your will, your word. Lord, you never go contrary to your word, ever. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight that whether it be young people or adults or singles, Lord, they're facing a difficult thing at work. Lord, at home, would you give courage like you gave to David to wait on you, to do the right thing, even though it's difficult? Father, there are people watching all of us to see if we do the right thing. Lord, help us to be a light for you tonight. In your son's name we pray. Amen.